Hey everyone, this episode went kind of long, so we're actually dividing it into two parts. So this is going to be part one of our Thanksgiving episode, and join us in a week when you will hear part two. Okay, bye-bye.
From Akron, Ohio, this is episode 225 of On the Tropes. On this week's episode, we are talking about Thanksgiving and the trope Thanksgiving episode. But first, as always, I'm your host, Nick, and today I'm joined by, in the bottom corner of my screen, wearing a black shirt.
Wearing a blue shirt.
Blue? Sure. Get out of here.
Yep, navy. Navy. It's the double strip signature shirt, actually.
Okay. All right. It's going poorly so far. In the slot above that, wearing a white shirt. I'm going to be told it's like a light green or something, I bet.
Nope, it's white.
Yeah, nailed it.
Eva.
And wearing the bear shirt.
And Kyle.
And I'm actually wearing a tank top because I haven't done anything today. Since I had to work till midnight last night, I didn't have to work today. So
that's like the 90s tank tops too. It's got like the thick straps.
I like the tank top jacket combo.
Yeah, I have a jacket atop it because the baby likes to scratch quite a bit when you hold him. So
they get to that age where they're like Wolverine basically.
Yeah. My arms are getting torn into meat. So we're recording this on Thanksgiving weekend. We are just talking off air about Thanksgiving this year. Well, different than normal, but what are your guys' usual Thanksgiving plans? How does your Thanksgiving usually go? Sir, I'll throw it to you first.
Usually we go to my parents, and so obviously that was out. I think, you know, any Thanksgiving plans that involved going to any like older folks' house or parents or grandparents is probably out. So that's usually our thing. Generally my sister and me and my daughter and our kids usually go over there, sometimes cousins. So, you know, we're pretty used to doing like a family thing. This year we did a food exchange where we all just kind of made Thanksgiving dinner like we would for just the folks in our houses, and then just picked one thing to make extra of, and I just drove around and dropped awesome. That stuff off.
That's awesome. That's a great idea. Eva, what's your usual Thanksgiving
Growing up, Thanksgiving was not a very like big holiday for my family. My dad would always work on Thanksgiving because you could get triple time.
Nice.
So he would work a double shift on Thanksgiving a lot. And so we had like, you know, like the turkey and that stuff, but my mom would get up really early in the morning and have everything ready so that we could eat before he had to be at work. He had to leave at 2 o'clock. So we always had Thanksgiving dinner at like 1:30 in the afternoon. And then my mom and I would just kind of hang out for the rest of the day. We never really like traveled around or saw anybody or anything like that. So it wasn't really until I got older and I started like cooking for myself that I was really like, you know, Thanksgiving was really kind of more of a big deal. Once I got to be an adult and I could share it with other people or go somewhere or something like that. And I get a free Thanksgiving turkey from work, which I didn't really feel compelled really to do this year. However, it was free and it's like one of the only fringe benefits I get. So I took it, but it weighs 20 pounds.
Nice.
I had a 20 pound turkey that I had to thaw and tend to and roast. And now I have to deal with the leftovers of that.
What are you going to do? I've had this theory that
leftovers are better than actual Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. This theory is going to be, it's going to veer in a way different direction. Have you had like a turkey noodle soup before?
Is it the chicken?
It's good. Thing? Like turkey noodle soup is, you know, it's more rare than chicken noodle soup, but it's really just as good. How come we don't do that with all chicken related things and replace them with turkey?
I
think it's just possible. Because you don't buy turkey year round.
Like and if I may, turkey nuggets.
Yeah.
We do. Yeah.
There was something that we mentioned that was like actually pretty gross, though.
I think it was turkey nuggets.
turkey Parmesan actually sounds kind of gross.
Yeah. Oh, like a turkey parm.
Oh, like, yeah.
Like a cutlet you can't really do. Yeah.
The Christmas Story quote is what I thought of first. Turkey sandwiches, no turkey salad, no turkey gravy, turkey hash, turkey a la king, or gallons of turkey soup.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of soup. I found a pressure canner, finally, and I ordered a new gasket for it, so it'll actually work. And I'm going to be canning a lot of stock the next couple days.
Pressure canner sounds like no joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredibly dangerous. It's like incredibly exhilarating because on the one hand, you're using like steam pressure to preserve your food, which could explode if you're not doing things properly. But also you're doing it to keep yourself from dying of botulism poisoning. So it's just really,
high stakes. Toeing the line between life and death.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle, what is your Thanksgiving routine? And it's similar to mine, but yeah, it has like a whole other half to it.
Yeah, basically. So Lisa's family has always done the lunch Thanksgiving. And that's really all they do. They kind of like eat. They basically eat all day. So ever since we got together, we've been doing the kind of the double. So our family does the dinner. My mom makes the best turkey and all the sides and everything. And we go over there. So yeah, ever since being with Lisa, we've done the juggling act of both. And it's just a long day of family and eating lots of really good food and occasionally checking out a football game, but usually it's a very long day, and especially since the girls have been around, carting them around is a little slows things down a little bit. But I mean, compared to this year, though, I was saying off air how it's just like it was so quiet and so relaxing and just different. It just felt like a regular day. But usually it's a way more, it's a bigger event of seeing people and eating lots of good food.
Yeah, for me, it's pretty much just the latter half where we go to mom's, and it's usually our mom's side of the family, which is smaller than our dad's side of the family. But since Nellie's folks live a couple hours away, we usually just do one or the other. So every now and then we do her family for Thanksgiving. And it's just, it's like this. It's the way like we do it, where it's, you know, just dinner with
he doesn't do the pig roast for that, does he? Like
no. That's a 4th of July.
4th of July thing.
Yeah, that's a 4th of July thing.
Still want to go to that. I know I've been invited a few times, but
it rolls.
Pig roast. Man. It's definitely a rural Ohio thing.
It's a Cuban thing.
Mm-hmm. In rural Ohio.
Yeah, that's how I know it is. A couple of, you know, Portage Lakes area.
Yeah, is Toledo considered rural? Toledo's not. It's no more rural than Akron is, I would say.
No.
So we are talking about the Thanksgiving episode today, and it's not something that every show does the way like every show basically does a Christmas episode. I feel like Christmas and Halloween are easier ones to do. Thanksgiving is a little tough because it's very similar. Like Thanksgiving to me is basically just Christmas without presents, which is why I like it better.
Yeah,
it's easier because I don't really.
We've gotten older, it's gotten better.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
At least when you were in like college or something, it meant coming home and seeing people too, which was nice. Yeah. Usually,
and because I don't really care about the like the historical like tradition behind either of those. Like I'm not going to church on Christmas and I'm not celebrating genocide on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So really it's just like about the dinner and getting together with family. But I feel like not all shows really do the Thanksgiving, because if you don't want to focus on like the historical bits behind Thanksgiving, then really what you're getting is a Christmas episode without, you know, the shitty music.
Yeah, but you would think almost that Thanksgiving would be like, because there's no religious component to it, that any American-based story could have a Thanksgiving story.
Yeah, it might be a little bit easier, more inclusive, I think, at least for Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think not having the religious angle makes it in some ways like more accessible. Like it's more wide ranging that it's one of the most national holidays. Like I don't know if it's is it overseas in England or anything? I don't think they have a Thanksgiving.
Well, I've heard
Canada has one in October. One. Yeah.
Lots of cultures have end of harvest season meal. You know, that's pretty standard. It's just that the American one got applied to a much more violent tradition.
Sure. And I think it does feel like one of the most, it's like a really national holiday though. And yeah, it's come to celebrate like the landing of the Plymouth landing and whatnot. Yeah, I think shows seem to handle it by either making it kind of like a weird day. Like I noticed in a lot of the episodes, it was like, it's a day where like the Fresh Prince episode focuses on poverty. Like they kind of make it another feel good.
Yeah.
Like do the right thing kind of day. Another one on my list like has to do with that stuff. Like you said though, there's less ritual. Like Christmas is like, you've got Santa, you've got presents, you've got like the tree, all these like tropes, whereas Thanksgiving could be, it could be a lot of different things. Yeah.
Someone trying to make a big meal and it not going well or something.
They want things a certain way and then it doesn't work out.
But it's nice because it's usually like a bigger group of people interacting together during those episodes.
Yeah, like for Christmas, like you said, sir, there you have all the common elements like Santa. Every house is going to have the same types of decorations. You're going to hear the same, I don't know, maybe one of 10 songs at anything. Mm-hmm. If you're showing like a party that's supposed to be cool or like a hip office party or something, you're definitely going to hear the Run DMC song no matter what. Whereas Thanksgiving, really the thing that everything has in common is just the foods. Like you're going to see the same foods, but other than that, it's more about the people, which I think makes it more interesting. It's a little bit more individualized as opposed to Christmas where everything is a little bit more like, because of so many similarities, it's a little bit more generic, I guess, but that also makes it a little bit easier to make a show out of that.
Yeah. And that's also because Coca-Cola codified how we celebrate Christmas, that everybody knows Santa Claus brings presents and it happens on the 25th when, you know, before Coca-Cola Santa was a thing, everybody had a slightly different one. If you had Saint Nicholas or you had Father Christmas or other, you know, elves or witches and all kinds of stuff used to bring you presents. But I think like you said, like Christmas on the other hand can be a little bit more like understandable or transferable to an international audience.
Yeah, that's true.
It's funny how there's a lot of Thanksgiving episodes of TV shows, but there's not very many Thanksgiving movies where there's like a ton of Christmas movies.
Yeah.
A ton of like Christmas episodes and stuff and Halloween and everything. But yeah. I can't even, outside of like the Thanksgiving and all those like cheesy ones, I can't think of like a really popular.
It's like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I think
there are movies where Thanksgiving happens in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not really, we don't ever call it a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah,
they're not central the way Christmas Story or It's a Wonderful Life or something like that.
Yeah, there really isn't any. I looked up, the Google list has New World on it.
Oh, no. That's not a Thanksgiving movie.
Why? Yeah, well, you know, it's like, wow.
It rules, though, I have to say. That movie rules.
I'm surprised we haven't done this episode before.
Well, I thought about the years
we've been doing this.
Exactly.
Yeah, we haven't. It's interesting, especially because there's so many, like sitcom episodes.
Yeah.
So it's a long. 21st is the Thanksgiving film. Yeah, it's actually, it covers like a whole year. There's a few different holidays, I think, throughout Rocky that they have celebrating, or at least a couple. Yet it does start with.
He takes her out on Thanksgiving, isn't it?
Yeah, and Polly throws her turkey in the alley.
And tells her to eat it out there.
Yeah.
He doesn't just throw it out. Like, they get to fight. He tells her to eat out in the alley with the garbage.
I mean, we were talking about this the other day. Polly's the worst villain. He's one of the worst people in film. Polly from Rocky. Like, and Rocky's best friend.
That's the thing. Like, let's not forget that that's Rocky's only friend.
He's got to get better friends. You don't want people throwing turkeys food into alleys.
And that's really like, I mean, is that the same fight when he wrecks the house? I remember there's Christmas lights up the one time when he's like screaming at Adrian and throwing stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Like,
Polly's the worst.
He really is.
The Polly prequel.
And he's wearing if you watch Rocky IV, which by the way, I think today or yesterday was the 35th anniversary of the premiere of Rocky IV. Hmm. Paulie's winter coat has a "Don't Tread on Me" patch on it.
Oh, nice! He's OG.
So he's the original. So,
yeah, he's the original. All right, Jesus.
Yeah.
Does he have a Blue Lives Matter flag too?
Probably.
No, but I bet he does now. If he wasn't dead.
Yeah, any new Rocky movie would have to have Paulie with a MAGA hat.
Oh, of course.
You saw Defy Bloods, right, sir?
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm. Just speaking of movies with MAGA hats.
Yeah, and what a hat. Like, just, it's like Chekhov's hat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
I really hope that, I haven't seen Ma Rainey's Black Bottom yet, but we may be looking at an Oscar race where it's Delroy Lindo against a posthumous Chadwick Boseman performance. Mm-hmm. And that would be really too bad if Delroy Lindo doesn't win the Oscar for The Five Bloods.
Yeah.
That said, I don't want Chadwick to not get it. It's a very weird thing. Like, I would actually like Chadwick to get it as a posthumous supporting for The Five Bloods. I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be really awesome.
I think. Because I really want Delroy Lindo to win an Oscar for that performance because it is incredible.
I don't know if he will, though. I don't know.
Could they put him as supporting in that just so that he'll win? So he's not going up against one of his co-stars who's passed away?
Well, and so we think Boseman's going up for
Best Act. Yeah, I think he's going up for Best Act.
Is it out yet?
Ma Rainey's. I don't think it is, but it's played like festivals. And he's gotten a lot of buzz, not just because of like the situation, but also because he's very good in it, supposedly. I don't know. It's a weird situation. It's a stupid thing to like think about. But I just love Delroy Lindo in that movie so much. But it's something that I was talking to somebody else about the other day. Over the next few years, we're going to see so many like movies and TV shows that are either centered around the Trump thing or around COVID and quarantining, and so many people are going to do it so badly.
Oh, it's going to be awful.
It's going to be so annoying.
Someone is 100% going to win an Oscar by portraying Trump in like some crazy ass dramatic movie or series or
something. Oh yeah, and we're going to have a like, you know, a Proud Boy film. Basically, I like the American History X version of that.
Yeah.
And some young white actor is going to make their action star career because, and this is actually a thing. I have an unpublished, unfinished essay about it, like a little short article about how every like major white actor
has played the racist.
With
the redemptive arc.
Yeah. Like, and it's usually like one of their first films is playing like a violent white supremacist gang member or something. So like Tim Roth, he did it. Of course, you got Russell Crowe, Edward Norton. Yeah, like it's a big thing.
Yeah,
it's almost like they have to kind of like signal that they're badass that way.
Yeah, but circling back, the
Paul Walker. Excuse me. All right, no, Ryan Gosling. Excuse me, not Paul Walker. They look the same.
There's Talon. He's pretty small.
Oh, I was about to say that.
Oh, no. All right. So, yeah.
But yeah, I was going to say the one person who I think most of his movies are incredibly didactic, but he manages to, for the most part, pull it off really well is Spike Lee. And I think Dario Lindo's performance in that's a good example of someone actually, like the two of them together, actually pulling it off.
Yeah.
In a way that you could see how that goes, how that could have been done just really badly.
Oh, yeah. It's the best Trump supporter that's been on screen so far. And the only one that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, speaking of, you know, not necessarily revisionist history, inclusive history, like, I mean, we mentioned earlier the troubled history of the holiday. Are there any shows that talk about that, that handle it well? I mean, I haven't seen any like recent Christmas episodes. All the ones I went to were pretty old, you know, and like you said, in our family, Thanksgiving was like kind of the thing that we celebrated the most because it had less, like we were, you know, it wasn't like super Christian and super consumerist, you know, it was just mostly about like kind of getting together and doing the family thing, like eating a huge meal. So I've kind of always kept that. Yet, I mean, we definitely talked a lot about the,
you're talking the about history of it.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. And
the only thing that I can think of, and I'm pretty sure it's Peanuts, but I can't remember. I'm pretty sure they do an episode. It's not a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, but I think there's one when Charlie Brown like tells the story.
Yeah.
And they actually like show people like dying and stuff and like when and it's I remember it, that being a little shocking when I was little. But they go into them building a colony and I don't know if they go into all the
well, the people they show dying
or the white people.
Yeah. I do think that they sugarcoat it and they don't go into the different like Native American side of things. But I do remember it being a little more like.
Yeah, Peanuts did a few of those. The one that they do where they talk about D-Day when they go to France.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah,
and they recite Linus recites Flanders Fields,
especially for Peanuts, like a little more. Crazy.
There's a quote from a Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode where I just found the screen cap. It's Jake talking to Holt and he says, as you all know, I hate Thanksgiving. The pilgrims were murderers and turkey tastes like napkins. Which so I don't know that truly counts as touching on it, but
we're I guess getting it was, there in society, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it was brought up. It's kind of ironic that the show that has a side jokes like that or like another joke that I like from that show is he's talking about watching Ace Ventura Pet Detective. He's like, oh yeah, it's really funny. And you know, it almost goes the entire way through without being incredibly transphobic. But it's interesting to me that the show that it has that's acknowledging complicated, troubled histories of, you know, things like Thanksgiving or Ace Ventura Pet Detective is the show about cops.
Yeah, it's the propaganda.
It's like, God damn, you almost got there,
man. You know, for a while over the summer they were talking about maybe reimagining
it. Yeah, they should.
Honestly, I think they should completely reimagine it as they all quit and go work at the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Or just have because it happen
all the things that are good about that show have nothing to do with the job that they do.
Right.
This is America, Charlie Brown. Does that sound familiar, Eva?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like a series, so they did a lot of different, I don't know, like events or.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one where Charlie Brown doesn't have a shirt on and he's dancing on cars? And then,
yeah, and then there's a bunch of people that just get shot up randomly in the background.
Yeah.
I just think of the Charlie Brown on Broadway was in it.
Oh, from SNL.
You're a rat bastard, Charlie Brown. I love it.
Should we get into our lists?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. Who do we go? Where do we go first? Kyle.
I go first, I think.
Yeah. What do you got?
My number one is the Slapsgiving episode of How I Met Your Mother. Just because I really love how this show brings back jokes from like previous episodes, and they'll go back far. Like the slap bet, I think mm-hmm. spans like basically the entire series. And I love that they do little things like this, but as far as this episode goes in Thanksgiving itself, it's not really like very Thanksgiving-y. Lily's trying to put on her first Thanksgiving meal and she has a hard time with it, but the entire time in the background, it's this slap bet and Barney not sure when and where he's going to get slapped and all that. But it's memorable and a show that I find myself rewatching every, I don't know, couple of years. So, that would be my number 5, the Slapsgiving episode. Eva, would be your number 5.
My number 5 is Adam's Family Values.
That was one I was going to bring up when we were talking about Thanksgiving movies, is that I knew that there was, I couldn't remember if it was that one or the first that had a Thanksgiving.
Well, Adam's Family Values continues in the tradition of the outsiders of the Adam's Family kind of like skewering like suburban American culture mm-hmm. in a lot of ways, because they do the thing that like TV shows would do when they were on too long. They have a baby and they send their kids to summer camp, and at the summer camp, the theme, they have a like big production at the end of the season. That's the first Thanksgiving, and Wednesday takes it over and makes it more like the more authentic first Thanksgiving.
I think it's one of the best moments. Like the coolest thing about the Addams Family are those contrasts where mm-hmm. you get to see what they think about kind of like regular traditions or rituals in society.
Well, and especially for Thanksgiving, where, you know, the Addams Family has this like perception that they're, you know, that they're very morbid and they're very violent. For them to like say, well, this is what you guys actually are talking about when you're talking about Thanksgiving. Like, who's morbid here? Who's savoring violence here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sir, what's your number 5?
My number 5, I'm going with the episode of Mad Men. It is season 1, episode 13. So it's season finale, The Wheel. There's a, you know, long story short, it's Thanksgiving and Draper's wife is kind of getting ready for Thanksgiving, and all these different folks are kind of come over his house, and they show Pete's family, another kind of overworked guy, and his wife is getting ready for it, and then they're kind of like in this Kodak deal where they're trying to put together a new commercial for the Kodak, like that carousel that eventually gets created for Kodak where you can flip through images. And basically the whole episode comes down to all these different people and these like overworked, basically oppressed women who are kind of wondering like, do we really want these lives with our husbands? They're all at work. And then it bookends with Draper explaining this new product as being a thing where you can look into this Kodak and like experience these like memories. And he kind of has this like kind of character defining moment of where you kind of realize that Draper is always looking into these things. Then he gets home, of course, and there's like his house is empty. And it kind of says a lot of things about the idea of Thanksgiving turning into this like consumerist kind of like dystopia around that time and being kind of taken over by these images of family when like none of these guys actually have one. And it's like, I looked it up today and I remembered it as being one of the heavier handed episodes, yet it kind of hit me that that's the only thing that makes Mad Men really work is these like kind of like heavy handed, really like laying it on thick episodes about these empty dudes.
Empty dudes who at the same time are in the business of telling everyone else how they should feel about holidays, events, food, drink that they don't really participate in.
Yeah. And it's like The Wheel is one of Draper's best pitches. And that's And they're all just like have, all the guys, and everybody's kind of enamored with his ability to kind of like mesmerize the.
Yeah, it's fun. I just want to make sure that I picked the right one.
It's also the one where Peggy becomes a copywriter.
Mm-hmm.
I stick to Pete.
At Pete.
He's a sociopath. That's the best thing about Pete is that in another series, he's like a serial killer. Nick, what's your number five?
My number five. So I went through and I decided to rank every episode, Thanksgiving episode of Bob's Burgers. So they started doing this in season 3. We're in season 9 or season 11 now. So I have 9 picks. So I'm going to get through the runners up real fast. So number 9 is called Thanks Hoarding from season 8, where where Bob helps Teddy prep Thanksgiving. It turns out he's a hoarder. My number 8 is from season 10 called Now We're Cooking with Gas, where Bob gets a fancy turkey from some farm, but their gas stops working, so he has to try to cook it in the alley behind their house. Number 7 is called Quirk Deucers from season 7, and the kids put on a play at school. The Quirk Deucers, the kids stage a school play, but they try to sabotage it so they can get a half day. Number 6 is Gail making Bob sled, where Gail fakes an ankle injury and Bob has to carry her home in a sled because his car's buried in, and the family has to cook dinner while he's absent. But my number 5 is from season 5, and it is called Dawn of the Peck. And it is about, it starts off actually with a Jurassic Park homage, where they're looking into this big like truck that's carrying a bunch of turkeys. And some guy like sticks his hand in, and it does like the thing in the beginning of the Jurassic Park when he gets the arm pulled in from the raptors. And they're supposed to be doing a turkey trot or like a marathon with turkeys. But as soon as they let the turkeys out of the truck, they all just start attacking people. And meanwhile, Bob is boycotting actually making dinner because he's mad at his family for going to the festival. So a running theme in these episodes is that Bob is like, you know, he's a professional chef. He's obsessed with Thanksgiving. He gets very personal about it. He gets very weird about it. Very possessive, I guess, of Thanksgiving. He talks to the turkeys and he does like this turkey voice that he speaks with on their behalf. So he's very mad at his family for not participating in Thanksgiving with them. So he's actively trying not to make a Thanksgiving dinner at all, and gets drunk by himself and then goes out during this turkey rampage. He's unaware that is going on to buy a turkey. So it's a pretty good episode. It's basically it starts off as a Jurassic Park homage, but it becomes more of a zombie film, Dawn of the Dead homage with turkeys. So it's a really good episode. Kyle, what is your number 4?
So your entire list is Bob's Burgers.
It's all Bob's Burgers, baby.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out when to talk about my entry.
Whatever. I'll let you know.
Okay. I won't talk about it just yet, but I do like how Bob's Burgers, as far as their Thanksgiving episodes, they do it very different than every other
show.
Like you were saying, like a zombie Thanksgiving episode. Like, that's awesome.
Yep.
My number 4 is the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, and it's the Thanksgiving episode that I remember the most. Mostly them being like, Charlie Brown kind of being forced to make this Thanksgiving meal for his friends. Even though he doesn't know what to cook, I think he says that he can make toast basically. Mm-hmm. And the scene that I remember the most is just Snoopy dealing out all the food, and the food consists of like toast and popcorn and jelly beans and pretzels, and peppermint Patty just lays into Charlie Brown about like how not authentic and whatever the
food what is. Was it she wanted so
she
bad
just want, she just wanted know. Well, so she invited herself over to his house, invited a bunch of friends, and then basically forced him to cook them Thanksgiving because her Thanksgiving plans fell through.
She sucks.
Why are all these children making Thanksgiving plans by themselves?
Have you heard how the parents talk? There's
Yeah, you can't understand anything.
They're on their own.
I remember that one in particular was the one as a kid that I was like, why do they have to make Thanksgiving by themselves?
Yeah, it actually made me kind of sad watching it, but just like, oh man. But then at the very end, Snoopy goes into his house with Woodstock and they have like a real Thanksgiving dinner because he's a little bee. But that's my number four. Eva will be your number four.
My number four was the Bob's Burgers episode. So instead.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. I'm curious as to which ones you guys picked.
Oh, it's Turkey in a Can.
That's what I picked.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll get there. I guess we'll get there at the very end.
Yeah. So I'll say.
Nice.
I'll wait, but I'll tell you a story. When I was a kid, and when you were talking about how Bob wants everything on Thanksgiving to go a certain way, and then something like gas not working at the house. There was one year when I was a kid that our refrigerator broke. And I don't know. I think we were like trying to get somebody to come and fix it. And it was, you know, taking a while. And it was, you know, payday happened on a certain day and we had to buy all the Thanksgiving groceries, including the turkey. But it was too soon for the turkey to thaw out. So we had to put like a bucket with gas station ice and all of the frozen stuff for Thanksgiving in a snowdrift next to the house because, you know, this was like 25 years ago when it was still snowed in November here. And we had to like bury it in the snow next to the house and hope that we got the fridge fixed in time.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really, really tense at the time. It took a while before we could laugh about it, but. You know, like most stories about being poor when you're a kid, they get funny later.
Yeah, exactly.
Sir, what's your number four?
My runner-up number four is a Thanksgiving story from just a couple years ago when my friend Dahmer came out. I was working at the Nightlight. One of the nights that it played was Thanksgiving. And oh my God, it was the biggest night. Like, because it was the night when a bunch of people like from Akron came out. Like the guy who owns his house now came out. One of his would-be victims that I think is actually played by the guy who plays Pete from Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Plays the guy and he came out. It was really something. And yeah, we got like the biggest numbers on Thanksgiving. Everybody thought it was so funny that they were seeing that specific movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
my mom's friends with that guy, actually, Backdurf, because my mom, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show before, but so the guy who wrote the graphic novel, my friend Dahmer, went to Revere High School, which is a local high school around here. And he and my mom and Dahmer were all in the same, not just the same school, but the same class, mm-hmm. like the same graduating class.
Yeah, she actually has because he just released a big graphic novel.
Yeah, he came out with a
not about Dahmer.
Yeah, Kent State.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe that was the one, but she had him sign it and everything too. And I want to read through it. Mm-hmm. He did one about like music too. Is that the same one you're talking about? I thought.
No, I think the one you're thinking about is it's one about like the local punk scene, like the Cleveland
Akron
scene or something like that.
That would be. I'd want to read the crap out of that.
My actual number four is Gerald the turkey. There's this turkey over the past year that was in Oakland. I'm going to share the story with you guys in the chat. Basically, there's a rose garden in Oakland, and over the pandemic, this turkey that normally kind of hung out in the garden started to attack people, and he attacked like some 200 people. His like preferred victims were children and old people. Usually he would just kind of chase them, yet sometimes he like would scratch them, and like it was pretty bad. And yeah, he just basically like got really territorial because there were more people coming in to the park.
He's spending time in the park.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been up close to the wild turkey?
No, I've seen him from my car, but not where I was threatened.
Yeah.
They kind of look like walking roadkill.
They look like tiny dinosaurs to me.
Yeah, they're pretty gross looking.
Yeah, so, you know, long story short, there's this huge thing about like you know, people were saying it should be captured and euthanized. Like, they had 13,000 people signed a petition saying that they didn't want to kill him, and he kept attacking people, and they tried to like catch him with like, you know, fake turkeys with like nets and stuff. And eventually this woman pretended to be an old lady. She's like an animal catcher. She like pretended to be an old lady, his favorite victim. Waited till he came up, and then she just grabbed him by the neck, and then they relocated him. So, you know, he kind of, I mean, basically he got deported, which kind of sucks.
So, yeah. I was going to make a poor joke of relocated him into her freezer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, they say that
I bet he tasted delicious.
Yeah. They say they sent him to like the hills or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. I think they might have eaten that dude.
They sent him to Butterball.
Yeah. Gerald Butterball? The turkey listeners. This is a pretty good story on the Guardian about it. It's pretty fun. There was like artwork made about him and everything. It's pretty great. Nick, what's your number four?
So my number four actually dovetails really well. No, it's not. It dovetails pretty well with that situation in a way, because it is the number, the season 9 episode called I Bob Your Pardon. And in this episode, the town, much like our president for whatever reason, this is like really the only other Thanksgiving tradition that we have is that the president pardons a turkey, which like, what a terrible, just god awful tradition. Like, it's so stupid. It's making a mockery out of something that's like so serious. And as we've seen, is can be so abused, so that the presidential pardon is being reduced to like whether or not an animal is killed for dinner. It just seems so like, it's just corny. Like, other than kind of gross, it's just kind of corny and tacky. Anyways,
are you saying that because the turkey this year was named Corn?
That's exactly, it's corny and cobby. Mm-hmm. So in this episode, the mayor does the same thing where the mayor will pardon a turkey. The mayor is absent for this kind of charade. So the deputy mayor is sort of in charge, but his aide, who is supposed to be in charge of finding a farm or whatever to put the turkey on after it's pardoned, it fell through. So she just decides she's going to take it to the slaughterhouse. But the kids overhear it. So the kids decide to go out and rescue the turkey. And it's a nice episode where, you know, it happens. What I like about Bob's Burgers is that you see the kids' morals every now and then, but they don't crop up in every single episode so that it's obnoxious. It's, you know, every few episodes, the kids will actually do something upstanding. And this is one of those episodes where they decide that they're going to go out of their way to save this turkey that involves fighting off coyotes and dealing with local political nefariousness. So I Bob Your Pardon is my number four. Kyle, what is, and they're successful, by the way. So, Kyle, what is your number three?
My number three is, it could be a several episodes from Friends, but I think the one that stands out to me the most is probably the football episode. I'm not sure exactly what it's called. It might even just be called the one with the football game. But I think what's so memorable about this game or this episode was, one, it's not really about Thanksgiving. It's more just them playing this game. And I love the fact that it, like 95% of the show takes place just in this park, which is kind of unlike anything else that Friends did. They're mostly just indoors in apartments or at the coffee shop. This was a lot different, and it was pretty fun. Charlie was born like the day before Thanksgiving 4 years ago. And while we were in the hospital, just hanging out, and while she was sleeping, we watched like all of the Friends Thanksgiving episodes, and it was pretty nice. But yeah, Friends does Thanksgiving pretty well, I think. But I think this one is probably my favorite of them. So, Eva, would be your number three?
Oh, my number three is one of the closest things to a Thanksgiving movie I can actually think of. And I think Kyle alluded to to it a little bit earlier, like the theme of it, of like when you're in college and you go home for Thanksgiving and you've got to like be around your family or your old friends. And
it's when you start appreciating it more,
or you realize that you're not like them and you want to be different, or you want to do something differently. And so my pick for my number three is Son-in-Law.
Oh yeah.
Pauly Shore.
You know who likes Son-in-Law? My Chinese grandmother.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? Like, which part does she?
I just remember that she had it on VHS, and I remember watching it more than once with her. She found Pauly Shore to be quite funny.
Is it that he doesn't like, but he's kind of like out of touch with like Midwestern American culture and how what they do at Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I think she just dug his vibes. She's, like, yeah, he's got just kind of.
Yeah, I feel like there were certain things that she loved about. Like, she just picked one person, and if she loved them, she'd just, like...
Yeah, go all in on... I mean, what's not to like about Pauly Shore? Like, people try to, like, rag on him and stuff, but, I mean, everyone liked the weasel.
Yeah, but she, like, what's interesting about that movie is she's, like, you know, she uses him as kind of a decoy. Because she doesn't want to tell her old boyfriend or her parents that she doesn't want to marry that dude. And so she kind of just like drags him along. Is Pauly Shore a manic pixie dream guy and Son-in-Law?
He is to me.
I think he fits.
You know, he kind of does. He
kind of like helps her to be more like, free. Yeah,
right.
I think that's the main thing.
And the interesting thing about that, like specifically when they go get tattoos, or she gets a tattoo and he goes with her, and she gets that butterfly tattoo, that actress, she was in that Gerald's Game that came out last year, which I didn't like overall. However, I was kind of tickled that tattoo that they, you know, that she had in that movie, it really is her. She's still got it. Like, I don't know if she got it for the film, but I was kind of like, oh, it was a real tattoo. That's awesome. It's kind of nice.
Well, I mean, is he manic enough?
He's pretty manic. He's got a
drinking problem.
Yeah. I think it tracks.
I think there's, you know, it's worth thinking about. So what's your number three?
I'm going with the Fresh Prince. And so it's the second Christmas episode that they did.
Thanksgiving.
I keep saying Christmas. Yeah, the second Thanksgiving one. And it's a two-parter. So there's the rub, parts one and two. So it's season six, episode 9 and 10. It starts with Carlton and his sister going to a homeless shelter because she's going to basically like, she's trying to do a publicity stunt for her show.
So Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary's doing like a publicity stunt.
Not Ashley. Yeah.
I was going to say, I couldn't remember which sister, but I knew based on what they were doing there, I could figure it out.
I was thinking I'm like Karen Parsons. Yeah, Hillary Banks. And so she's trying to like get press to come in and see her serving food. He's trying to get a recommendation letter to go to Harvard. And then
So they don't really
want they're just kind of like they're being basically like rich kids. And as all the family's over cooking dinner, there's like the three aunts are there, like the sisters, and they're all fighting about who has the best stuffing. Will's watching, you know, football with Uncle Phil. Uncle Phil throws his back out as they're trying to move something. And
now I remember,
you know, Will's like, hey, let's go to this massage parlor, and otherwise, you're going to miss Thanksgiving dinner because they're not going to be able to get up and go to the table. And so he goes, and it ends with the two women who are giving him massages. They offer to give him happy endings. Oh, yeah. Yes. So now you remember this. And then, of course, Uncle Phil's like, no, I got to get out of here. And the cops bust in, and it ends with them getting arrested. And so, like, it's one of the shows that, like, they're willing to like show their interactions with police. Like basically there's this kind of clearly the like shitty detective that seems to have a grudge with Uncle Phil that keeps him in overnight. He's like, oh, you know, you're the judge and you gotta sit here because you got caught in this place of ill repute or whatever. And there's some great moments in it. Of course, predictably, Carlton and Hillary kind of learn the meaning of them being like privileged and they like,
sure,
you know, help out the people in the homeless shelter who, the way that they're cast, the majority of the people in the shelter are white, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, I think, you know, that show had a really interesting way of showing race and class. You know, they were the rich folks, you know, it's a rich black family, and it seemed that they were really conscious of like trying to show like different types of people in different class situations. And then of course there's the fact that Uncle Phil is this kind of well-to-do black guy who is still has to deal with kind of the justice system, as it's called.
Yeah. Even someone, not just that, but he's a judge.
Yeah.
He's a very significant part of the justice system.
Yeah. And there's a great moment where there's like a scary guy in the jail, in the holding cell. And it turns out that that's somebody that Uncle Phil used to play football with. Like, he played college football with him. And they have this conversation where basically from that game that they both remember, that guy got injured, lost his scholarship, got drafted, did 10 years in prison when he came back. And then, of course, like Phil goes like this other direction. And it's just a really poignant moment where it's these two like black men who kind of have this like school connection, and then it takes this, it's a turn. So yeah, of course they, you know, there's Uncle Phil and Will Smith obviously get out of jail.
Yeah, I was gonna say, does it end on like a lighter note?
Essentially, yeah. I mean, the two kids, the rich Banks kids, they buy everybody in the shelter dinner, and Hillary refuses to put it on camera, so she just kind of does it to help people. And she's like, "Oh yeah, I exploit people every day on my show. I can take a day off."
Hmm. Yeah, because we just recently got HBO Max, and so I started watching Fresh Prince from the beginning again. And there's a lot of stuff that I like didn't remember, like some of the harder hitting like moments, like really early on, like even in the first like three or four episodes, just like, man, I don't remember this. Like when I was little.
It's an intense show. Good.
Yeah, it's great.
Have you guys seen the HBO special yet of like the cast? There was
no, but I saw ads. Yeah, it's like a reunion. Yeah. I don't know if it's like a series or a documentary. But
I think it
looks interesting.
To my understanding, it's just kind of them like hanging out and reminiscing. I've heard it's a really just like kind of gut wrenching thing to watch for people who like grew up watching that show.
Yeah,
because I'm sure they must talk about James Avery who passed away a few years ago.
Stuff where they talk about him, but what I'm not sure is, I feel like I saw something about like Will Smith having there's some drama between him and one of the
show. It's a big deal. Yeah.
So I didn't know about that, and I'm wondering if they like talk about, lead up to that moment, or if it's just like them confronting it just immediately as it starts.
Yeah, that's actually the only part of it that I've seen, because I've seen the Twitter clip.
It's him and the character who played
Aunt Viv. Mm-hmm.
Aunt Viv or something?
It was the original
one?
Yeah, it was the original Aunt Viv. I think she did the first three.
Is that why she left? Or?
Basically, there was like, she had issues with the way she was being treated by the show, and then like by the actual like production, and then Will Smith added on to that by basically taking their side and
throwing her under the bus.
Yeah. Said that she was difficult to work with, and so she was fired from the show and replaced with a lighter skinned woman, which has been like a huge issue in the black community for years. Yeah, because like, you know, even the portrayal of her seemed to change. You know, Aunt Viv, as originally played, was a little bit more, people felt like she was
more of a fully developed character.
Yeah.
She had a job. Yeah. She had things that she like cared about. And that was right when she had the baby.
More of an attitude.
Yeah. And I think people felt like, you know, there's a lot of colorism where they got this lighter skinned actor and a woman who, as she says to Will Smith in the clip, like him saying that a black woman is difficult was kind of like, it really affected her career.
Yeah, that's like a death sentence for somebody's career.
Yeah, it, you know, I haven't seen the whole thing. So Janet Hubert is the original Aunt Viv. And I mean,
so are both Aunt
Vivs?
on the special. That's got it.
And I guess they met for the first time. So Daphne Maxwell Reed is the new outfit, but I guess they met for the first time on that show. So like a part of me like kind of wants to see it, and a part of me just is like, I don't know. It seems like, is it going to be exploitative? I don't know. It just,
I kind of feel like it's one of those things that's just thrown, like it was Will Smith's idea, which is another reason I'd be like, I don't know if I'm.
Yeah, I mean, if Will Smith wants to make amends, he can.
I mean, if he does, maybe, but I don't know. I feel like Will Smith, he's kind of crazy. I mean, right,
that's
now,
the thing. Doesn't he have a Scientology thing going?
I was going to say, I think he's a Scientologist.
No, he's a Scientologist. Yeah, he's like a Scientologist sympathizer, at least.
I think he's actively, but he does a better job of like hiding it than Travolta or Cruise. He's more like a Beck, where every now and then you're reminded, you're like, oh yeah, he is a Scientologist. That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, Cruise is probably taking over the whole thing next.
Oh, this, according to Wikipedia, it says he's not a Scientologist and has denied rumors claiming him as a member of Scientology, but he has spoken favorably about it. He says he has no thetons and he's clear. Something about Xenu. I don't know.
Exactly. However, I mean, he's all like, oh, I don't know anything about it. Yeah, you know, I know everything about it. And I'm just.
And he sends his kids to Scientology schools and raises them, at least the way he talks about them in public, using their principles.
It seems a little sympathetic to me.
Okay, that is it for part one. Join us next week. You will hear more of our Thanksgiving top fives, then we'll get into some feedback, some more food discussion, things like that. Okay, see you then.